This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And please don't adjust the controls on your device as you listen to this podcast, because I am slightly nasal and vocally challenged.
Oh.
But...
Not too bad, Dr.
I feel a lot better than I sound.
Good.
I observed my annual Thanksgiving tradition of getting sick. And by the time I, in a room of about 30 people, shouting at the top of their lungs, I managed to almost completely lose my voice. I had a little bit of a squeak by the end of Thanksgiving. I record this, I'm recovering. How was your Thanksgiving, Layla?
Oh, very nice. We had chicken.
You had chicken for Thanksgiving?
We had chicken and roasted vegetables, and then we went and framed the garage walls.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We got stuff done.
Even in that really frigid weather.
Yeah. Well, no, those 2 days, you can't.
Yeah.
Because if there's water in the wood, in the 2x4s, 2x6s,
yeah.
And it's frozen,
yeah.
You will split it with the nail gun.
Oh, okay.
So you can't even work.
Okay.
So the other days were like in the 40s, which is perfect.
Okay.
You just bundled good, in layers and...
Good nail gun weather.
Yeah. Good nail gun weather, good chop saw weather. I'm on it.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's an exciting project.
We had chicken okay. for Thanksgiving.
So you're going to extend an invitation to all our listeners to join you for a big grand opening.
Right. Hopefully anywhere from 7 to 9 months from now, I imagine it will be.
And your place accommodates up to 20 people, possibly, right?
Well, possibly, if you go to the yard.
Okay, so we'll do a special drawing, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Exciting? All right. So before we get into questions, by the way, the destination for questions, as usual, radioprogram@AOL.com. Mm-hmm. And I want to extend a thank you, by the way, to all of our listeners. There was a real stampede on Cyber Monday.
That's after Black Friday.
This is, it's like first there was Black Friday, then there was Cyber Monday. Cyber Monday is a real phenomenon. We offered a special discount. Mm-hmm. On full script of 10%, and people took advantage of it, and we're very,
very nice.
Appreciative of that. And we hope that you filled your shopping basket with not something frivolous, not a new flat screen or some new device, but something that could augment your health. So,
well, I've heard on the news that Black Friday has really lost its novelty because everybody's doing their shopping online. So Cyber Monday is like a super duper hit.
Yeah.
So, great.
Before we get to questions, radioprogram@AOL.com, the destination for questions. There was a new position statement by the ADA, the American Diabetes Association.
Diabetes Association.
An organization that you have great reverence and respect for.
Yeah.
Okay. Sarcasm intended. This is a very a nice... op-ed from Robert Lustig. He's the guy who's the pediatric endocrinologist, and he has a big concern about our growing epidemic of type 2 diabetes among kids. And he's a low carb guy. And he wrote a very interesting op-ed that I posted last week, I think it was. The ADA just released its guidelines for pediatric type 2 diabetes, and they're very disappointing. What they're saying is that it's all about excess nutritional intake, low physical activity, increased sedentary behaviors, decreased energy expenditure,
resulting in the surplus of energy being stored as body fat. Mm-hmm. So it's a thermodynamic equation, you know, like, right.
Calories in, calories out, right. That old dinosaur, still?
No mention of the word sugar.
Nope.
Processed foods. No mention of the benefits of a low-carb or ketogenic
right.
diet.
Too bad. Really too bad. So, kids, parents, give your kids cereal and toast and juice and then send them out to play.
Yeah.
So you could burn up all of that.
With a moderate intake of soft drinks, of soda,
moderate.
Because if you exercise your tail off, you'll be okay.
That's right. You can drink all the Coca-Cola you want.
Right. The message is getting across because when I go to the suburbs, I see a fair number of really obese kids.
Oh, yeah.
I live next to a Y, and they have like a lot of kiddies that come in and out during the youth programs for the Ys.
Yeah.
You know, really small kids. And I'm very pleased to say that almost uniformly, they are fit and slender, which is great.
That's good.
That's a good sign.
It's also but here it's also, in Manhattan.
It's urban population, upscale population.
Yeah.
Many of these kids are the children of United Nations employees because we're in the United Nations area. So, you know, I think that aware parents are feeding their kids well, engaging them in adequate physical activities.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, getting them to move. And maybe, let's cross our fingers, restricting screen time to some extent.
Yeah,
I
that
know,
would be great.
You know, at the Thanksgiving gathering I was at, there were a lot of young parents. The kids' table has now become the parents' table.
I see.
You know, so it used
so
to be
now
just,
there's three generations.
It used to be the kids there like throwing food and fighting. Now they're the parents.
Uh-huh.
So we have about six under five children in the gathering.
Wow.
And I think that all the parents are aware that screen time is problematic. I did not see the kids doting on screens. I was very pleased to see that.
That's good. That's really good.
You know, they weren't like using the screen babysitter.
Exactly.
You know, because sometimes they prop the kid in front of the screen.
Yeah.
And the kid's zombie-like, you know, watches the screen.
Right.
Like a pacifier.
I've seen kids in strollers where the parent puts their cell phone in front of them. They're watching a video. I see this on the subway.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
That is, boy, that's, talk about
that's a
gateway, gateway drug.
Yeah.
Gateway drug
yeah.
to social media addiction and gaming addiction.
And all of that. Exactly. Exactly.
Anyway, lest we sound like fogies, you know, because it is that younger generation. Anyway, let's get to questions.
Okay. We have one here from Willie. Willie asks, which health insurance covers functional medicine doctors? Now, my answer would have been Dr. Hoffman. You know, it depends on the doctor. Many of them don't, right? You don't take insurance.
Correct.
Right? We're not taking insurance. There are many doctors who take some form of insurance, but I didn't know about this other.
Yeah,
that
there
you mentioned.
There have been efforts to scale this and bring this more to a mass audience because the criticism of integrative and alternative medicine is that while ultimately it could save money, this is not covered by insurance. It's sort of like medicine for the elite.
Yes.
You know, the highly educated, wealthy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an elitist phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And so a guy that, you know, I used to have some involvement with it when he was in New York,
James Maskell
has spearheaded an initiative called New Health, but it's K-N-E-W.
K-N-E-W.
And health. I'm on the website of newhealth.com.
Mm-hmm.
Empowerment to your own health, your way. And blah, 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 medical cost sharing. You know a little bit about cost sharing. How does that differ from insurance?
Yeah, well, the cost sharing, I actually belong to a health sharing ministry.
Ministry.
And I'll name the name. It's Liberty Health Sharing.
And I was that for a while, along with you, until
right.
I went to Medicare. You know,
yes.
It kind of tied me over from my last COBRA for a couple of years until I was eligible for Medicare.
Yeah.
So it was very economical.
Yeah,
I never tapped into it because it was more for catastrophic coverage,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. It's kind of for that. It can be for some primary care.
So very high deductible, right?
Yeah, very. No, actually, it depends. For a single person, it's $1,000. It's not called a deductible.
Oh.
It's called the non-shared amount. So your first $1,000 is out of pocket.
No,
first $500 is out of pocket.
Wow.
For a couple, because my husband and I both do this, our so-called deductible is $1,500. So that's the non-shared
amount. And the premium is really low.
It is really low. It just went up recently.
Right.
It just went up by about $50. So for the both of us, my husband and I, it's $349 a month.
That's insanely low. What's the catch?
No catch. We've not really used it yet. So
right.
Can I tell you an experience or how it? Not really. I've not really used them. Their website is very, very user-friendly. They have a great way of submitting bills. Any bills we've submitted so far have been within the non-shared amount, so there wasn't any reimbursement we were expecting
right.
or anything we've done, we've had done
right.
or anything like, you know. So, but, yeah. But overall, the experience has been just fine. I understand that they do take a little longer sometimes to pay. It used to be about 45 days. It can be as much as 60. Some people have complained that it's even longer, but, you know, this is just the way it is. So much insurance, from what I hear, so much insurance really takes their time paying or really doesn't want to. They make you jump through hoops.
Well, they make when you're submitting a claim.
Yeah,
but it's the opposite. The doctors jump through hoops.
That's true.
Patients just pay like a copay or something,
right.
a nominal amount,
right.
and then the doctors have to wrangle. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you have to go, you know, this is my experience with conventional insurance, you have to sing for your meal. You have to say, well, I propose to do this for the patient, and then you get an approval for that,
yeah.
an approval for a drug or an approval for a procedure, a surgery or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Which is nuts.
It's entirely too bureaucratized.
It really is.
There is too much gain for overpaid
company.
Executives
yes.
and bureaucrats
yeah.
To the detriment of the patients and to the detriment of the health professionals yeah. who really,
And insurance premiums keep going up every year.
Do you know any doctors who are making $100 million a year?
No,
you know,
it's not like. They're not.
Yeah. So,
and they're having to hire staff to get through all of this paperwork.
Right.
And you can't afford to pay them if you're
it's
not.
It's forcing doctors to work for hospitals as opposed to being flexible, independent practitioners. Because to submit to insurance, you have to have a whole room full of people who are the boiler room, basically doing the work for an entire staff in a hospital or a large medical group.
Yeah.
And it's driving consolidation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's de-autonomizing, if so there's such a word,
mm-hmm.
for doctors.
Yeah, it is. It's really taking away their power to make medical decisions, which they should be able to make without having to answer to the insurance companies. So is this new health like the health sharing industry? I've never heard of it.
I'm just putting it out there that people can explore it. I have no experience with it.
Yeah.
Okay. It just sounds like a promising avenue,
mm-hmm.
and the idea, I mean, look, it, frankly, one of the appeals mm-hmm. to the insurance industry of such a program is that already you're getting health-conscious individuals
mm-hmm.
to join.
Yes.
So they exercise, they take supplements, they're on a terrific diet,
yeah.
they're well-educated and health-literate,
mm-hmm.
And so... the pool of people is not going to be a bunch of really sick people.
That's true.
And the costs may be lower.
Yeah.
That's the appeal of a confederation
mm-hmm.
of health savvy people.
Yeah.
Now, this has been the dream of alternative medicine for a really long time. It has been hard to achieve because, mm-hmm. you know, health is not entirely a merit system. You know, somebody with the healthiest habits could develop the most god-awful cancer and then sink the pool, mm-hmm. you know, and drive the costs up.
That's true. The other nice thing about the health-sharing ministry that I belong to is you choose any doctor you want. They're not dictating to me who I have to go
okay.
see. for primary, for anything at all, for any specialty, you choose. What they will do is they will try to negotiate down the fees once you submit the bill or even before you submit the bill. And the whole, the energy behind all that is the way you're shopping for a car, the way you're shopping for, try to make good decisions with regard to how you're,
right.
how you're, what so, you're being charged.
What I've heard is that one model is in Singapore.
Yeah.
They don't do that whole system of, you know, the government is regulating healthcare and the insurance industry is regulating healthcare. What they say is, we're going to give you money for your healthcare. You know, everybody gets an allocation of money.
Mm.
It's your discretionary money, how you spend it.
Okay.
And then they have a very competitive, they have an, it's an advanced country, they have a very, it's an affluent country, and they have a very competitive healthcare system there, so that that tends to drive the costs down in a free market way.
Yeah.
So that no therapies are favored or artificially subsidized by, lobbying the insurance industry to get things approved.
Yeah. That's good. That's actually great.
So that's,
wow.
I mean, you know, what's the answer for America? You know, Medicare for all.
Medicare is covering less and less.
Well, be careful what you wish for. You know, it's there are problems associated with Medicare.
Because, and that's something my mother, my 82-year-old mother, has complained about recently. They're not covering this. They're not covering that. She's having to get on the phone with them.
I mean, so say you have cancer, you know, Medicare, and you want the most advanced type of cancer therapy that's available. You may be limited in your choices because it's not covered. So what do? You know, if you need like $200,000 of medication, what do? You do a bake sale, you know, or something.
Right.
You know, it's like the latest immunotherapy or something like that. Well, they in their judgment, and there's some cost containment there, and these therapies aren't slam dunk. You know, and then the other point is that there is a limit to how much Medicare can be underwritten, especially with more and more people entering Medicare.
Yes.
And the proposal that everybody over 50 enter Medicare, Medicare, you know, Medicare solvency is an issue.
Yes.
You know, and by the way, I pay pretty substantial, I mean, I'm very happy that I pay, you know, I'm covered by Medicare because it was a lot less than private insurance.
Oh, yeah.
But my premium is pretty substantial and my deductible now, because I have very high deductible Medicare, is well over $2,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the problem for a lot of people is they have such high deductibles that they can't afford to use their insurance. That's the other thing. Not necessarily you, Dr. Hoffman, but anybody else who has a very high deductible. Say they have a family deductible, family of four, and their deductible is $6,500 a year. Not a whole lot of people have that in the bank.
Right, because Americans aren't really savers. You know, the notion of, there's sort of a notion of self-insurance, you know, save money for a rainy day.
Right.
You know, our system creates a certain absence of moral hazard where people don't save for a rainy day because they recognize that there are backstops that will take care of them.
Yeah.
And, you know,
but guess what, people? Like Dave Ramsey says, it's going to rain. One day, it's going to rain. You better be ready.
Dave Ramsey is a radio host who's...
Right.
He's all...
Finance guy.
He's all about, you know, pay your debts, get rid of your credit card stuff, get sober.
Have an emergency fund.
Financial sobriety.
You find, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. Health Peace University, I think it's called. Oh my gosh, we've really gone off. So, newhealth.com,
K-N-E-W.
Health.com.
Right.
All right. So, Willie, check it out there and see what that is about. Well, you know, even in the setting of cancer, for people with, you know, which anybody can go bankrupt, having to pay
medical
for their
bankruptcy is a tragedy.
It is, it is. But there are foundations that can help to alleviate some of the burden of costs for the patient. We're seeing more and more of that. More and more charitable stuff. You know, for instance, on the Liberty Health Sharing website, and I like to share this because it warms my heart.
Yeah.
Anytime I go there, they will let me know with my monthly premium that I pay them who it went to, whose medical costs it went to, but, to Sally and Michael.
That's nice, because it kind of goes, it harkens back to the community.
Yeah.
Like, you know, say you were in colonial America, and there were poor people and there were wealthy people. And, you know, you'd go to church, they'd pass the plate.
Yeah.
And, you know, you would contribute to maybe, and then there would also be like almshouses, you know, where poor people, the government didn't do this. There were almshouses that were supported by the church or the community. And then if, you know, if somebody got in trouble, you knew that person. You know, you'd say, well, okay, you know, I'll give you a little something and your family something, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, Scrooge, you know, buying, you know, Christmas dinner for, you know, Tiny Tim and,
Oh, boy. So, okay, Willie, thank you very much for that question.
It launches on a long-winded...
Exactly.
Digression.
Yeah. Here is, here is one from Suzanne. Hello, I called into the radio show and asked about nutritional supplements for Parkinson's disease. Dr. Hoffman suggested True Niagen and Inosine.
Inosine. Yeah.
I can find True Niagen, but not the other.
No, it's there. I mean, if you go on Google,
it's Source
and Amazon,
Naturals. Yeah.
Inosine, Naturals. It's available.
Inosine is available.
Maybe she didn't get the spelling right, you know, because Inosine.
Yeah.
You know,
And it's a nucleoside, a building block for DNA and RNA.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
It's actually several companies make it, but I just thought the Source Naturals brand was pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, I can't tell you how much to take, but here's a precaution. You should get your uric acid measured, because there is the potential with inosine to drive your uric acid so high that you get a gouty attack.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it's like purine-ish.
Yeah. Well, it's like a prepurine.
Prepurine.
Yeah.
Okay. Very, very interesting. All right.
I mean, what we're referring to, just for those who did, you know, I mean, we assume everybody listened to all our podcasts, is there's this theory, you know, uric acid is bad, right? It gives you gout.
Yeah, high uric acid, yeah.
Yeah, but everything that is bad may have a good side.
That's true.
You know, it's like cholesterol.
Yes.
So, you know, it's not our enemy. It's not like a evolutionary mistake.
Right.
Uric acid is actually a very potent antioxidant. And so we see in Parkinson's disease, generally, people pretty low uric acid.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually a lot of research on boosting uric acid to slow the progression of Parkinson's.
Wow. Fascinating stuff. Great. Uric acid can be good.
So, epidemiologically, people of gout tend to have less Parkinson's.
Interesting. Wow. So get gout, people, to avoid Parkinson's.
Drink a lot of wine and have a lot of aged meats.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for that question, Suzanne. So it's Inosine.
Correct.
And one brand is Source Naturals.
Right.
You can find it there. Okay. We have an email from Christopher. He has a question about supplements. Dr. Hoffman, there are oceans of information out there for the consumer. How do we determine what we need for balance in our diet? What would be an overall healthy daily regimen?
Here's an analogy. You know, there's a bewildering array of investment opportunities. Bewildering. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could get stocks, you could bonds, you could get, you know, you could get precious metals, you could invest in art, you could.
Yeah.
So there is a profession that helps people with that. It's a profession that is not rocket science, but they do their best. It's called financial advisors.
Ah, yes.
Okay? And actually, you have to study to do that.
Yes.
You need to go to school.
Yeah,
you need to get a certification.
Mm-hmm.
So the analogy is, although I have to say, I'd like to think that it's, we're maybe a little more scientific and less speculative realm.
Yes, we are.
Is,
I would agree.
Although it is a portfolio, in a sense, a health portfolio, has to be individualized.
Yes.
And that's what we do.
Yeah.
So, This is not a quick answer.
It's not. It's a consult. How does Chris determine what he needs for balance in his life? What would be a good supportive regimen for supplements for him? There's only one way to find out. You come see us. You see your local practitioner. You get a workup. You have an assessment. And then a plan is created for you based on your deficiencies, based on...
Even your genetics, because we're now beginning to do that. Yeah.
Yes, because everybody has a unique biochemistry. And by the way, Chris is in Prescott, Arizona, and he listens to you on Sundays at 1490 AM KYCA. And happy holidays. So how do we know if something is working for our benefit or for our detriment? By doing an assessment, by being assessed on how it's doing for you. So it's not a matter of you come to see a practitioner and they assess you, they work you up, they see what you need repletion in, what you're deficient in, the best thing for your biochemistry, for your genetics, even all of that kind of thing. But then you follow up with that practitioner to see how is it all going.
Prescott, Arizona.
Prescott, Arizona.
That's the place where they filmed the epic film series Billy Jack.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which I actually re-saw recently.
70s, right, Billy Jack?
It's, yeah, 70s. It really captured the spirit of the 70s.
Uh-huh.
You know, with generational conflict and racial discrimination and, you know, the conflict between, between the old order and the emerging hippie culture.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Jack.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a film of sort of my high school and college days.
Really?
And was a real, like, cultural phenomenon. Prescott, uh-huh. Arizona.
Prescott, Arizona.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, that's all the time we have for part one.
Oh, my.
But we have much to discuss in part two. And we will take a pledge now. Raise your right hand, please.
Yes.
I hereby pledge not to digress and to do my very best, to the best of my ability, so help me God, to answer your questions succinctly.
Yes. Yes.
In part two.
I will.
Okay.
I think. Okay.
Stand by. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is our weekly Q&A with Layla, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.